Good evening. My goodness, we're so many. Has everyone met Ken? Let's do introductions around again.
Donald,
I'm Dan.
Warren.
Angel.
Russ.
Sonia.
Ken.
Wendy.
Kitty. Julian.
You won't remember. So we're in the middle of Zen Mind Beginner's Mind, and they're such short chapters that they're a pleasure to read, actually. Just get a little taste, and then sit with it and walk with it and live through the day with it. It's very helpful that way, just to take them one by one. This one is about Zen and excitement. And it's addressed, I'm sure, especially to the early students of Suzuki Roshi, many of whom were young college students, young hippies, the ones who heard about him just came and sat with him, sort of uninvited. They just came in and sat down. In Los Altos, where he gave these talks, it was a little bit of a different situation. There were some quite old ladies who started out with him, and Stanford students as well. So, and they were a very lively group. It was a very lively time, as you might remember. Just about all of them, and including the old ladies, were doing psychedelics. And so that was an aspect of this also. The vet hospital in Menlo Park was sponsoring a government-run program, giving psychedelics to anybody who was willing to experiment. And so Gert and Peg and the old ladies who were so keenly interested in Zen and tea and flower arranging also got some experience at the Veterans Hospital with LSD. So he had his hands full, I think, you know, Suzuki Roshi. And you can imagine that he would try to temper things a bit and try to give some kind of perspective to people about what Zen practice was and how to go about it. But for us, it's also very helpful, even though we're not dropping acid. At least I don't think we are anymore. But our tendency to want a thrill or some kind of diversion, something new or something better, just something somehow to get out of this stuck place that we're always in and go to some place better. And so his quiet talk about usual everyday routine, I think, is very useful and helpful for us. There's a lot of talk in this society now about simplifying our lives. And I think many of us are trying to do that a lot. Mostly, I think, it's not such a matter of stuff. It's not about our things or even about being busy as much as it is about where our mind is, what kind of attitude we bring. And that gets back to the old greed and anger part and the ignorance of trying not to see even though the truth of things is right in front of us. So cultivating Zazen mind is also cultivating the kind of calm with which we can accept what's happening, acknowledge what's right before us first. It's very hard to do, and this, it's a good subject for tonight because this is the time of year when it feels kind of frantic. And yet everyone is longing for peace. And what people talk about and what we read is about peace. We're very fortunate that we got found by this practice. It was an amazing, almost miraculous occurrence that somehow this came to us. And the quality of our life and our practice creates who knows what kind of wake behind us and before us. We actually make a wake into the future as well as from the past. Waves and waves of how it is with us. So these kind words from Suzuki Roshi: if possible, try to be always calm and joyful and keep yourself from excitement. That's so un-American. Keep yourself from excitement. Very, very helpful. Shall we read? Shall we read the few paragraphs here? It's page 57.
Zen and excitement. Zen is not some kind of excitement, but concentration on our usual everyday routine. My master died when I was 31. Although I wanted to devote myself just to Zen practice at a Heihei monastery, I had to succeed my master at his temple. I became quite busy, and being so young, I had many difficulties. These difficulties gave me some experience, but it meant nothing compared with the true, calm, serene way of life.
It is necessary for us to keep the constant way. Zen is not some kind of excitement, or concentration on our usual daily routine. If you become too busy and too excited, your mind becomes rough and ragged. This is not good. If possible, try to be always calm and joyful and keep yourself from excitement. Usually, we become busier and busier, day by day, year by year, especially in our modern world. If we revisit old familiar places after a long time, we are astonished by the changes. It cannot be helped. But if we become interested in some excitement or in our own change, we will become completely involved in our busy life and we will be lost. But if your mind is calm and constant, you can keep yourself away from the noisy world, even though you are in the midst of it. In the midst of noise and change, your mind will be quiet and stable.
Zen is not something to get excited about. Some people start to practice Zen just out of curiosity, and they only make themselves busier. If your practice makes you worse, it is ridiculous. I think that if you try to do Zazen once a week, that would make you busy enough. Do not be too interested in Zen. When young people get excited about Zen, they often give up schooling and go to some mountain or forest in order to sit. That kind of interest is not true interest.
Just continue in your calm, ordinary patience practice, and your character will be built up. If your mind is always busy, there will be no time to build, and you will not be successful, particularly if you work too hard on it. Building character is like making bread. You have to mix it little by little, step by step, and moderate temperature is needed. You know yourself quite well, and you know how much temperature you need. You know exactly what you need. But if you get too excited, you will forget how much temperature is good for you, and you will lose your own way. This is very dangerous.
Buddha said the same thing about the good ox driver. The driver knows how much load the ox can carry, and he keeps the ox from being overloaded. You know your way and your state of mind. Do not carry too much. Buddha also said that building character is like building a dam. You should be very careful in making the bank. If you try to do it all at once, water will leak from it. Make the bank carefully, and you will end up with a fine dam for the reservoir.
For an exciting way of practice may appear to be very negative. This is not so. It is a wise, effective way to work on ourselves. It is just very plain. I find this point very difficult for people, especially young folks, to understand. On the other hand, it may seem as if I was speaking about gradual attainment. This is not so evil. In fact, it is the sudden way, because when you practice this calm and ordinary, everyday life itself is enlightenment.
So he throws a little excitement in there at the very end. Like that. Just very plain. There is a big debate in ancient China about Zen practice, meditation practice, and enlightenment. And that's what he's referring to, whether enlightenment comes in stages, and that you work along and achieve, and then achieve something more, and then something more, and finally the gates open, and there you are. Or the sudden enlightenment, where out of the blue, there it is. Someone asked Suzuki Roshi whether he had been enlightened the slow way or the fast way. He said, it came fast, but it took a long time, he said. It's a kind of artificial sense of separation in ancient China. They were rivalrous, actually. They were rivalrous teachers. And one said, and he and his students said he was right, and the other said he was right. And so there was a kind of split, but it was a friendly split. And they actually understood that it was just two sides of something that it's pretty hard to talk about. So Roshi is pointing that way too, that it sounds like gradual enlightenment, this plain day by day, step by step, simple, ordinary life kind of practice. But the truth is that each moment of our everyday plain life is enlightenment itself. Our awakeness in our life. So it's, again, it's the mind we bring to life, not the life itself. So our question is how to be very plain. How do we do that? Now, what is our ordinary life that can be so plain? We drive cars that are incredibly complicated. Everything that we use is complicated. My printer died today, and I feel very keenly how complicated and difficult things can be. It takes a lot to not be caught by things, to stay present and quiet, and be willing to accept and meet each thing, and to be satisfied. Some say that dukkha, the word that we translate as suffering, can be translated as dissatisfaction. That our dissatisfaction is our suffering. Because there are two of us then. We're split. There's the one that whatever is happening is happening. That's the true one. And then there's another part that's saying, no, no, I don't like this. I don't want this. Or saying, oh, I want more, more, more. And so it's never in balance. It's never at ease. It's a dis-ease. There's been a very interesting online discussion for the last 2 weeks on the AZTA and the Soto teachers, American Zen Teachers Association and the Soto Zen teachers, who are talking about, they're talking about two subjects. One is reincarnation / rebirth, and trying to distinguish between those two, and also what is Zen practice, and whether Zen, ordained Zen people, are really priests or not. Very interesting. And they started out by taking, there's the e-sangha online, which purports to present the Dharma from every different perspective, from Theravadin to Vajrayana to Pure Land to Nichi Ren to the various flavors of Zen, etc., etc., etc. And one Soto Zen person tried to put something online about rebirth, and they refused to put it on. So that started the whole thing. And at first, everybody got really upset, including that guy, because he felt like he was being censored. He was being censored. So there were talks of lawyers and trying to make Soto Zen a trademark or something so that nobody could use it. And then somebody else said, put in some calm words and said, well, just let it go. You know, if they're going to be like that, that's okay. We know what we're doing. So then everybody got kind of calmed down. And then somebody got really upset again. And then finally somebody said, why don't we write to those people? And so they did and started a dialogue. And it began to shine back and forth in the most wonderful way. And because they were... all of them, the man who ran the show was a Soto Zen practicer himself, but was speaking for all those different traditions and how they were trying to keep it all in the embrace of this one website. Very interesting. And so telling about how we can be with each other, disagree bitterly at one point, and begin to accept and find some way of practicing generosity around it. And that just opened it up. So now, there's still not a lot of complete agreement, but it's people have expressed themselves eloquently. They've spoken beautifully about the difference between rebirth and reincarnation, really well expressed. And I think everybody in the listserv has learned a lot. It's like we were all teaching each other. It was beautiful. So the excitement in the beginning, I guess, generated the whole thing. But it was when the excitement calmed down that it began to work and to make some sense for everyone. Then that agitation and that feeling of being attacked and wanting to attack, which is useless. I mean, we're all fairly civilized, so there was hardly any point in, but we do that, you know. So finding the calm. There's one more point about calm that I want to say, and that is there's real calm, and then there's kind of cementing over agitation. And that's not a good idea either. Our emotions are like weather. So it's about cultivating excitement for the sake of excitement, not about creating calm when there's something that we need to address. So there's that also. Are questions? Samia?
So I'm not sure I understand the keeping the excitement down bit. So I'm thinking, is he talking about, I mean, I'm sure he's not talking about all the time. I mean, there's exciting moments. If something happens, that's really cool.
Yeah.
I think it's almost rude not to be excited about it if it happens for somebody else. Like, you know, their cancer got better, you're not going to say, okay, you know?
Yes.
I mean, right?
Right, right.
Or no?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, is it more like the fake excitement or the drug excitement, or?
It's about using our practice as one more exciting thing. I always say one more hula hoop, and out in the world, grasping for thrilling and exciting and distracting things to do, so that our life is just a journey from one thrill to the next in order to keep ourselves really blind to what's really going on. But it certainly, it doesn't mean that we can't get excited. I mean, if we get cured of cancer, we're going to dance and around and shout.
Yeah, that's an extreme, though.
Yes,
but,
yes.
Also the, you know, maybe having a little bit too much coffee and getting carried away, or maybe too much wine and getting carried away. And in a way, it's kind of fun because sometimes it gets you out of that little rut or whatever.
Sure, it's up to us.
I mean, and there's some people that, you know, I remember Vanya, I don't think you were there that day, but at the end of the session, he like dropped the bomb, and there were so many people in the Zendo talking about hallucinogenics, and it kind of shocked me too, because I'd never tried it, but then I got curious about it, and, you know, people don't talk about it. So that's, I think, might be another extreme.
It is an extreme, and it's one that Vanya is very interested in.
Right, I mean, that's what
so,
she said.
Yeah.
And some people were interested in it, and some people, you know, tried to do that. But again, isn't there a space and time for everything?
Well, it depends on what point of view, where you're standing when you... how can I say? Sure, there is. Of course there is. But if you're... if I say base or establish your life in a certain direction, commit to a certain direction, then you commit to a certain state of mind as well. And that's what he's pointing to. And it isn't puritanical. I don't think he means that, and certainly, you know, I don't mean that. I don't mean we shouldn't ever have any fun. That'd be terrible. But it means how we pursue our life, how we see our life day by day, and how we keep our integrity in the midst of all the distractions that abound, and to keep trying to pull us away from this part and this part. It's a balance, and each one has to find her own balance. There isn't any plan for us. We just have to figure it out. But I often say we do a drunken stagger, that this middle way is here, and we tend to veer over this way and get kind of carried away, and then we come back. Oh, yes, this is fine. And then we veer off the other way. So it isn't that most of us are able to just stay put on the equanimity road, but that we keep finding it as we go. And that is our aim, really, even though we get pulled and thrilled and moved by things, then we come back and then get pulled again and come back. So it isn't any perfect life. It's just a way of knowing about that quiet, plain satisfaction of ordinary life, rather than trying to inject it with sparkles and bangles and every day. Julian?
I mean, isn't ordinary life pretty, pretty exciting as it is? I mean, the world is pretty fascinating. I mean, get into, cars, things people use every day, and, there's a whole history behind it, and all that kind of stuff that's interesting, and it is. Ordinary is kind of a tricky word, like, what is ordinary?
Well, it depends on where you are. And it's more about really being with the ordinary, so that if you're with your car, that you're really with it.
It's not working the way it's supposed to. You get all frustrated and you're not able to fix it.
Well, no, but just to feel and experience the car-ness of the car as you're in it. I mean, you really can. You can hear that. You can completely ignore the car and just drive. Or you can be in the car and feel the vibration of the steering wheel, hear the wheels, the sound of the tires, and the sound of the wind as it goes by. You can hear the engine as it's going. And the car itself is your real experience, which we usually don't experience. We're usually thinking about something entirely different. until somebody cuts us off or something, and then we get mad. But otherwise, we're just, you know, like this. So it's like that. It's ordinary, but it's the reality of it. So that's the teaching, is to be more clearly and more willingly who we are and where we are.
Got confused at who we are.
Well, the who is the one who's driving the car.
It's about time.
Yes.
And I have a sense what he's talking about is not abusing, not abusing excitement, in a sense.
Yes.
It's something that happens, like, you know, saw me, I mean, like, it can happen, but making more out of it than it really is, and that's mm-hmm. the abuse, the abusing.
Yeah.
It's yeah, that middle way.
I was hearing a story, actually on Facebook, a friend, a woman I knew years ago in New Zealand, moved to New Zealand, and thanks to Jane McDonald, who put me in Facebook, I suddenly heard from her, and she sent me a talk that she had given. She's a psychotherapist, and now she's a Zen teacher, and she said there was an experience that she had when she put on her tight red dress and went out with her boyfriend and went dancing. And lo and behold, two women were there sitting at the dinner table, and they looked up, and there was one of them said, "Oh my God, there's my therapist." And the other one said, "That's my Zen teacher." So yes, exactly. So on that note, we should stop.